Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking at Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, we celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat, we're proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. This is More Than Just a Podcast. It is season 13. It is episode 53. And it's question time. We've lost Honey Boy. Because, I don't know, you'd have something else to do. Go back and listen to episode 52 if you haven't listened to it already. It's a cracker. It's called Desmond Tutu. It's the title of it. Do you like what I did there? Back with us is Shedman. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Shedman.
And Cannon Town Len, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm finally back in my studio.
Art man. We get George to do you your own little jingle.
That's ever so nice.
To do art man. Art man.
I could do it myself, man, couldn't
studio
I?
Studio man. Yeah, you could.
Busy man.
Do it needs something to the thing. Realistically, it needs to be to the theme of like more Steptoe and Son, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Anywho, it's question time, so it must be time for this. It's Facebook, Twitter question time, where you, the 8 listeners, get to ask us questions. And do you know what?
Yay.
This is weird, right? I met 8 of our listeners at the game. At
wow.
Least people who came up and said hello. So I must have met every one of our listeners at the Liverpool game. What are the chances of that?
Yeah.
Nigel and Len?
Yeah, I mean, what are the chances of them, you know, admitting they know you as well?
I know. Obviously,
I would say slim, but I wouldn't
slim.
Want to lie.
Oh, I like it.
Like dig you out. But
okay.
Who were the 8, Sean?
Yeah.
Because when I meet people, I make sure remember their names, and 3. Give their names out and say thank you.
I should.
Not strong.
Do you know what? There's a one guy I see on the train most of the time, and I should get his name.
Yeah.
But you know who you are, right?
And oh, that's Andy.
Well, obviously, Sean, don't go on the train. But anyway.
Yeah. I will. I'll make a point of getting everyone's name to go. Oh,
too late now.
Do the podcast.
That'll never happen again. All 8 listeners.
He's just going to be, the man on the train.
Anywho.
What train does he get on, Sean? DLR, is it?
On the DLR, which is the favourite train of Jack Sullivan. Always gets on the DLR, by the way, from Pudding Mill Lane. Then I get on the...
Of course, you know what DLR stands for, Sean, don't you?
Dotland's Light, where are we?
Oh, well done. There you go.
And then I get on the Jubilee Line, usually at Canary Wharf. But the other day, it stopped at Popular.
Popular.
By the way, go off at tangent already. My in Surrey, in Thamesditton in Surrey, my postman, who's I knew he was a bit of a geezer, and we were talking. I had my West Ham top on Saturday, and he said, "Oh, where are you going?" I said, "West Ham." He goes, "Oh, I've got a lot of mates at West Ham." And he said, "You should have pie and mash in Poplar. Maureen's. Do you know Maureen's in Poplar?"
What? Where I used to buy my pies from? Sean.
Is that where you used to buy them from? I've never been there. Except when I was forced to get off because.
Well, do you want to meet there, Luton? We could all have pie mash.
Oh yeah.
Check. Luton Saturday, innit?
Yeah.
We'll all go Maureen's because it's
walkable from there to.
It's a 2-minute walk. It's a 2-minute walk. No, we jump the DLR, get off at Langdon Park. It's a 2-minute walk from Langdon Park Station to Maureen's.
Yeah.
And obviously 2-minute back.
Okay. Yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah, and then we'd go Maureen's. Yeah.
It's the best pie and mash in London, it is. He told me.
Well, it's one of the best. All right. It's in my top three.
Okay.
I've never heard of it
until my Surrey postman told about.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't tell him that.
They actually sell. They sell claret and blue Maureen's pie mash T-shirts.
Do they?
Because yeah.
He's a big.
They're big West Ham fans.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's in Millwall. That's not.
Well, it's in Poplar, and that is different. Yeah, you got to remember that. Millwall.
Oh, really?
No, Sean. Don't. Millwall is further south, where the Ledger Building is.
So when we go to Ledger Building, we're in Millwall territory.
We are. We're on the Millwall, yeah.
I don't know if you remember, Sean. I did explain that when we did our summer drink up.
Yeah,
do you remember when I said about the 7 mils?
I was telling John's friend, the Liverpool fan, that it was where they kept the ledgers.
Yeah. Well done.
Anyway, go back if you want to hear all about that in episode 52. Anyway, right, we've waffled on, but it is still... Yeah. It's Book Twitter question time, where you, the 8 listeners, get to ask us, the 3 remaining presenters, stuff. What did you ask Nigel this week?
Well, it's Facebook, Twitter and direct messages to Nigel.
Oh, of course, direct messages.
So, I like to get them out of the way, mainly because generally sometimes I do forget when people do it. So, Adam Leverbarra, but the wheel fell off. He's piped up. He's being greedy. He's chucked a couple in.
Oh,
hi, mate. Hope all is well. It is. Thank you, Ed. Question for the pod. He says, we may have answered this though in a previous episode, Sean. You may be able to help me out with the Premier League approving a vote 16-3 in favour, one club abstaining for the new spending cap rules called anchoring.
Yeah.
Could you please enlighten us on what this means? Cheers.
So anchoring. Is taking the lowest broadcast fee, which in the case of Southampton last year was 104 million from broadcast, and giving it a multiple of 5. Now, it could be a multiple of 6 or 4.5. There's some debate. And that is the maximum. So think of that a limit of what you can spend on wages, transfers, and agent fees. Now, if it's 104, right? And what did he say? Did he say 6 or 5?
He said, what are you talking about, 6 or 5?
The anchoring. So which
didn't say. You said anchoring.
So let's just throw it on 5. That's 520 million, right? No one spent that, except for Chelsea, maybe. They spent 500 and something million. But none of the others spend that. So that's what anchoring means. It will mean... probably in the current levels of spending, it will mean fuck all, actually, Adam.
You've probably got that wrong, Sean, I reckon.
I haven't got it wrong.
Have you not? Well, it only happened today, isn't it? When's it coming?
2025, 2026. So.
All right.
There's no spending limit.
Moyes will be long gone by then. Anyway.
Or will he?
One other thing. Yeah, he will. Who is the bigger West Ham legend? You ready? Here's a question. Oh. I don't mind. So here he lists. So we got Paolo Di Canio, 0 trophies, 141 games, 51 goals, most goals in a season, all comps, 17. Or Gerard Bowen, asterisk so far. One trophy, 200 games, 60 goals. Most goals in a season in all comps, 20 to be continued. So who is the bigger West Ham legend?
Oh, it's a rubbish word, legend, but you go first.
It is a rubbish word.
Well, I'll go first, and I will decide how to do it. I would say, at the moment, Di Canio is a bigger West Ham legend than Bowen. Once Bowen retires, I think we may alter that. But obviously, each legend's a personal to people. For me, Di Canio's the most skillful player to ever wear the shirt. He did more with a ball than Bowen did. And he put bums on seats as well as got you up out of them.
Lenny boy.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the same answer as Nigel, really. But I do have a problem with the word legend. No one
I'm going to argue that neither of them are legends, so it's a stupid question.
Ooh. What, Di Canio's not a legend?
No, he's not a legend.
It doesn't matter, is it?
He's not a legend. No. He was a character and he was a skillful footballer. The word is overused.
Is Phil Parks a legend?
Lee Bonds were legends. Yeah, I don't think Di Canio stayed enough to be a legend. And as you say, all right, so let me...
Do you know what? I'd actually put Tevez down as a legend.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. And all for 9 games, to be fair.
Wow. A legend. You're just overusing the legend.
I don't think so. There's a lot of goal called heroes.
Is Mark Noble a legend?
No,
why not?
Well, he doesn't like to treat people, does he?
Well, I knew you'd say that.
Well, you asked. I answered.
Is Trevor Brooking all over? He works out.
Is Trevor Brooking as a player? Yes.
Is Alan Devonshire a legend?
Oh, undoubtedly. Greatest ever signing.
Is a legend?
Yes.
Is Billy Bonds a legend?
Not of much.
Is Bobby Moore a legend?
Yeah.
Of course.
Is McClosco a legend?
Hero.
Oh, here we go. So now we've got legends and heroes. Here we go. I'd love to know what the... Do you know what? I would love to know what the criteria is for legends.
Well, you wouldn't, because you won't be able to answer it now.
It's all bollocks.
Maybe. All right. But it's unique to each individual person.
I think it is.
Your legends and heroes will be different than mine.
Yeah.
You idolised Tony Cotty.
I did idolise Tony Cotty.
There you go.
Yeah. But would I call him a legend?
Would you not?
To me, he is, but I'm not sure anyone else would see it that way.
I think a lot of people would.
I do agree with you, though. It's too early.
For Bowen?
Bowen.
Yeah,
legend.
Definitely.
But, you know, he's done very well to score.
On the right track, isn't he?
16 goals.
Definitely. I think, for me...
And to marry Danny Dyer, I mean, that doesn't make him a legend. Did he not marry her?
No. Still married, I think, Nige.
I think legends, you can't be a legend, really, for me, until you retire. I mean, the one that'll be tough will be Declan Rice.
Oh, yes. Is he a legend?
I think he will be once he retires.
Is Rio Ferdinand a legend?
Nah.
Hero.
Is Frank Lampard a legend?
Senior or junior?
Senior, yes.
Junior?
Nah.
No, I get it. Move on.
Yeah. Well, you think he should be then?
This is why I come down to the criteria. Are we looking at what they achieved in their career when starting at West Ham, or are we just being very
Why don't you tell us what you think the criteria is then, Sean, and then we can...
I think Adam's got a slight point. You've got to look at what they achieved. So did they achieve any...
It's more than a slight point, really. That's the old point.
How many games did they play for West Ham? What did they do? Did they, if they were a goalkeeper, how many clean sheets did they give? If they were a goal scorer, how many goals did they score? There's so many factors. But remember when Nigel did his manager formula? I think you've got to create a formula for legend and hero for this to be
You thought my manager formula was complicated. How would you do a legend?
I know,
formula?
It would be just difficult. Don't but maybe that's
no, I wouldn't even attempt it because, as I said, for me,
very personal.
Legends a personal.
Yeah, there you go.
I still think the club needs to have a proper Hall of Fame, but, you know, one day, maybe. I'll just bloody do it. I think, fuck it, I'll just do it. And
I've painted all the legends.
So, well, I'm not sure you painted all of them. There's loads more. Vic Watson should be a legend.
Who?
Vic Watson.
I have painted him, funny enough.
Len Goldin.
No, I ain't painted Len.
You know? Sid King.
Yeah.
Was he the one who drank acid?
You know.
Well, we've done this, Sean. I'll just educate you. Actually, what missed, what I was disappointed with, which nobody, hardly anyone saw, because I didn't do it until half past 11, is I found something in my collection that was a bona fide. I've wrote an article about it that will go up this week. A piece of paper.
Like, it looked like a certificate of incorporation.
Well, yeah, what it is that...
was it on Twitter?
No, it was a part of the show last night.
Oh, right, okay.
That I discussed with Nick. So basically, I found in my possession a share certificate.
All right.
And the share certificate belonged to Edward William Child. And I've researched him, 47 Lucas Avenue. He bought two shares. And he bought them in 1904.
Okay.
And I've got the original share certificate with the signatures of Sid Ooh. King, the chairman Grisdale, and director who's George Fundell. So, and I've researched the life, well, so what I could, of who Edward William Child was to try to explain that.
And who was
when
it?
West Ham, he was just a school teacher that lived in Upton Park.
Oh.
But he bought two shares. But what happened is, Sean, I'm sure you would have forgotten, but when West Ham was started, they did a public sale of shares. They were like roughly, they were 50p each, 10 shillings. So 4,000 shares were issued. The idea was 2,000 would be bought by Arnold Deals, 2,000 bought by the public.
Yeah, I've heard you tell me this, yeah.
Yeah, so, but what was interesting was that this was 4 years after the initial share, the sale had happened. And that was only, the shares were only on 2,500. So between 1900 and 1904, they'd only sold 2,500 of the 4,000 shares. So the uptake weren't that great, was it?
How did it come in your possession?
Well, it's just one of them mysteries, Sean.
Yeah. Can you put a copy of it in the WhatsApp group?
Yeah, I'll do it. There's an article that will go out with a photograph of it. But what I've done is that the article explains roughly, but then I've researched that the man, Edward William Child, looked him up in the census, try and find stuff about him.
Do share certificates for West Ham or Thames Ironworks come onto the market ever? I was told Thames Ironworks ones do occasionally.
Thames Ironworks ones, yeah. They do. They do, yeah. They do. Well, do you like to iron one?
The Thames Ironworks one, yeah.
Oh, right.
Or okay. A West Ham one, yeah.
They do.
But you let me know, because I could... that's something I would like to own in my collection, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Where do they fork? Are they on eBay or they go on auctions?
Well, no, yeah, mainly auction houses, if I'm being truthful. But not this is the thing, not the Thames Ironworks ones, and maybe if you search, you should search, you know... I'll tell you where to search. I don't like saying things like this publicly because it may interfere with what I buy. So we'll talk off air.
All right, we'll talk off air.
Because I may be able to point you in a direction on one. That's up for sale.
All right.
Anyway.
Excellent.
Next up is mine and Len's good mate, Johnny Goodman, because he is a good man.
He's a good man, he is.
Is he?
Johnny says, evening, gents. And he says, well done last night with the angry brothers, Norwich. He says, with a new manager, brackets maybe, coming... In, do you think a cup run will be put on the back burner with no European football? It will all become about the league and its riches.
No.
No?
No, if a new manager comes in without the distraction of Europe, one would think we'd have a bigger go at the League Cup or the FA Cup.
Okay.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
Well, we don't try to go at them competitions.
But we've got, I mean, without being, you know, we're used to now playing two games a week with Europe. You know, it's not as foreign as it once was to us just to play.
One of the things I didn't get to put across is that in the four full seasons that Moyes has been manager, his best season was when we had no European football.
Yeah.
Oh. Moyes in.
Yeah. So.
Moyes in.
Just, you know, that I never got that chance to put that across.
Good point. Well made.
But anyway, John does finish. Remember, Len, we've got to play golf with him this summer. Yeah.
Right.
So we'll sort that out. And I'll sort out me and you, start and have a twilight in the next couple of weeks. He says, I'm the deputy head keeper at Stockbrook. I'm also part of the match day pitch team at the London Stadium. Brady out.
Sorry, who's that?
You Johnny Goodman. Is the deputy greenkeeper, you mean?
Yeah, at Stockbrook Banner, golf course. Yeah, which is a great place, to be honest. Very prestigious.
I think I might have been there.
And he also says, I'm part of the match day pitch team at the London Stadium. Brady out.
Is he one of the people that goes around with a fork at half time trying to repair places?
I'd imagine so, yeah. And then gets his mower out at the end of the game. Which, John, can you explain this to me, actually? This is a good point. It's fascinating because I remember I used to watch him at Upton Park. Why do they cut the grass after the game? Have you ever noticed that?
I've seen that, yeah.
Have you not wondered? And there's a line of them. So, like, one will go off and then one will follow and then another one will follow. So there'll be four or five of them in a line going up and down, one behind the other. What's all that about?
No, no.
And lastly, John, what's the best thing to kill weeds in a lawn that won't kill the lawn? If you can let me know that, please. I'd be truly grateful. Because I've done about a grass now. I've got more weeds in my lawn. Daisies and all that.
Pull them out. That's the only thing you can do,
mate,
really.
My lawn's too big. My lawn is too big to pull them all out because they have gone rife.
I Googled it and six most questions asked to ground staff. And this one is, why'd you cut the pitch straight after a game? Ground staff may use rotary mowers immediately after match to hoover up any little bits of debris which may have been kicked out during play. The grass itself is not usually being cut. So is it a length? It's not being cut. Hoovers up all the debris, lets the grass breathe. There you go. According to turfcareblog.com.
So I've asked John, but you've butted in. Thanks for that, Sean.
I'm just saying what it says on Google.
I'll wait for John.
He may come back and give another reason.
Right, okay. Right. I'll head over to Facebook. Well, I said question time. I won't ask anything. I nearly said because I don't want to be accused of gaslighting. But then I thought, no, I won't. I'll rise above it. I'll leave it all to you. Cheers as ever. First up, he's just posted this. So in early there, or late, but you'll get it. It's one of our favourite Canadians. It's Mr. Barry Meikle. Evening all. He said, nice to see Dal Johnson from ESPN give clarity. Here we go. To the Areola drop ball free kick situation on Twitter. Check it out if you haven't. There you go. So we've got to check out. You could have just told us, Baz. To be fair, I thought you was going to tell me. I now got to go find a tweet. Anyway, he's got a question for you, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
In his tweet about Creswell moving to a Northern club, he listed Wolves as a possible destination.
Yeah.
What map was he looking at? Everyone out.
Well, us haven't.
Everyone out. Right?
As I explained, Watford Gap, which is around Midlands area, is usually seen as a divide between north and south.
Is it?
So for me, Watford Gap, which is not at Watford, by the way, it's sort of
Northampton.
Milton Keynes kind of way. Anything north of that is regarded as north to me.
All right.
So anything above the Watford Gap is a northern club.
So Watford's not north to you?
Watford is not north because it's not.
But it is though, isn't it? From where you are,
it's north, but it's not a northern club.
Oh right.
You know, but yeah, we don't do the Midlands stuff. I know Wolves is probably classed as a Midlands club to some.
Classed as a Midlands club.
Some people call it that.
Oh, what do other people call it then?
A northern club.
Oh, do they really? Do you know where Northampton
is? You're splitting hairs.
Do you know where Northampton is?
It's in the Midlands.
Well,
north of the Midlands.
North of the Midlands.
Yeah.
North of the West Midlands.
Of the Midlands.
Is it not?
West Midlands.
Yeah, I'm asking you, Sean.
Well, you
I'm enjoying your answer.
Aaron Cresswell is a Scouser.
Right.
And he wants, a bit like Craig Johnston, he wants to move closer
to Craig Johnston.
Craig Johnston, wow.
Craig Dawson. You're just trying to wind me up, aren't you?
No, you're the gift that keeps on giving, Sean. I didn't realise we were going to go down this road.
In circles, you do, Sean.
So I'll put you out of your misery, tell you where Wolverhampton is?
I've just had a look at it on the... it's above
it's
London.
It's just north of Birmingham, but below Stoke.
There you go. Well, Stoke's definitely bloody north. Come on.
Well, Stoke is, yes, halfway between Midlands and the north. But then again, anything north of Acne is north to me. So,
Wolverhampton Wanderers is above Sheffield.
Sorry? Say that again?
Wolverhampton Wanderers, yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't it above Sheffield?
Sheffield's in Yorkshire, Sean. South Yorkshire.
No, I've
fucking
Googled
hell. I heard it the first time. I thought, surely not. You've then gone and repeated it. Oh, my life. I thought I was the one that never went to school, Sean.
I didn't do geography.
I did. Sheffield's up
the M1.
I've
never been to Wolverhampton.
South Yorkshire. Wolverhampton, it's over on the left-hand side of the country.
Over, I'm just looking at a map.
Yeah, look over towards Wales.
It's higher than Birmingham, yeah?
Yes, it's above Birmingham. Only by about 7-8 miles.
Okay.
It's sort of level with Walsall.
Okay, still north to me.
Yeah, anyway. Thanks for that, Baz.
just as you remind me.
Yes.
You might know this. When we were down and you weren't waiting for you on the concourse, we saw Tommy Walsh come in.
Yeah.
Weren't looking too well. Was looking a bit doddery.
Okay.
I think he's not too well, actually, if what I hear.
Well, he's looking
Don't go there again. You fucking misdiagnosing people.
Yeah, I know. I think Tommy's all right, but...
And he was walking up the stairs to your section.
Was he really?
Did he sit by you?
He sits in front of me now. He used to sit behind me.
Oh, really?
And the reason why he don't sit behind me no more is we used to struggle. And I shouted, "Go on, Tom, you can do it," as he sort of staggered up and says, now he sits in front. Now he sits further down the front. I give him a wink with my pie and mash as he looks admiringly at my plate when I generally walk past. So perhaps I should ask him. Should I ask him, do you want to do an interview, Tom?
Yeah, I should.
Yeah, oh, I'll ask him.
He's walking up the stairs. He's getting on a bit now, isn't he?
He's there nearly every game.
He's a...
Man of the people, isn't he?
What's he, 67, 68? How old is he now?
I suppose he must be. Maybe he's older than that. Look, go on, Google him.
I'll Google him. Tommy Walsh.
Mick Clifford.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. Evening, gents. Great podcast as usual.
67.
Oh, there you go. Well done, Sean. With hopes of Europe deteriorating faster than Sean getting his round in, my question, hands up, what do each of you think are the chances of a more attractive football-style manager coach coming in? It doesn't seem to be Sullivan's forte.
Has he got a forte?
Let's list all the managers he's ever appointed. Not a West Ham, yeah? All of them. So quickly, yeah? So he inherited... Cooper, who was ex-Leeds, sacked him, put Barry Fry in. Yeah? So I wouldn't say, you know, expansive football is his forte. Replaced Barry Fry, I believe, with Trevor Francis. Replaced Trevor Francis with... what's Silly Nuts, who the Geordie played for Man United.
Bruce. No, Newcastle Steve manager. Bruce.
Steve Bruce. Replaced him with Steve Bruce and then replaced him with Alex McLeish. Yeah? Not none of them expansive, is he? Came to West Ham, replaced the expansive manager, Zola, with Avram Grant. And then we go from Grant to Allardyce, Allardyce to Bilic, Bilic to Moyes, Moyes to Pellegrini and back again to Moyes. Expansive. The only expansive manager I think he's ever appointed, I don't know, was Bilic expansive, maybe?
It's the most they've...
Yeah.
Expansive than that, though.
There you go. One in 30 years.
Yeah.
Hey, and by the way, Len, before you accuse me of misdiagnosing people, on his Wikipedia page, it says he was diagnosed with throat cancer in 2022.
All right. Well, that's not good to hear. Anyway, I hope he's doing well.
Well, I don't know him. Listen, Tom,
if you listen, which you probably don't, I'm the bloke that walks past with a double pie mash in his hand.
So, ask him on the podcast.
So I will. I'll have a chat with him. He's got another question. He said, what's the best piece of advice each of you have been given, irrespective if you heeded the advice or not? Brady out.
Brady out.
Good question.
Oh, I can't remember that.
I know what mine was.
Actually, my best bit of advice was for my dad to say hello to people and to try and be friendly.
Hmm.
I think it was right, really. I don't think I could have got on anywhere without putting myself out. Especially in the end, being a freelancer and going out. I think that's probably a good bit of advice, really.
That is a good bit of advice, actually.
A bit of advice I was given by my chairman, right? Or founder now, because it was the former chairman. And in 1990...
Well, you've met the bloke, Mr. Reed.
Yeah, of course. I've
was he
him
really a
years.
Bloke then?
Yeah, yeah. Sir Alec Reed. He's 90, just turned 90. And
he don't look 90 in the advert.
No, that's his son,
oh,
James
is it?
Reed. So anyway, in 1998 or 97, one of the two, 97, 98, we opened up in Hackney. And
what did he say to you? Was it short back and sides, please?
No. So we opened up in Hackney running New Labour's New Deal, right? So New Deal was for unemployed people and we created a business out of this. And we took over the old job centre, right? And the old job centre in Hackney.
What, on Mare Street?
Yeah, we took the old building. I forget what the name of the road.
Mare Street.
It was Mare Street on some
and I'll tell you what, we turned up like in our suits and laptops. And it took, you know, you can imagine, we got mugged and got, you know, one person turned up in a, like, Porsche and it got vandalised, etc. So quickly we changed our attire and didn't walk out with laptops. But the piece of advice he gave me, which I didn't follow, he said, Sean, mark my words, Hackney one day will become up and coming because it's so close
it
to the
fucking
city.
Was up and coming.
It wasn't
we're fucking
in,
19, down again.
In 1997. It was not.
No.
It wasn't. It was a shithole.
No.
And I remember now, you could buy a house for £5,500
no.
in Hackney.
No.
Not in
97,
you could.
No.
1997, Sean, I can't remember the exact price, but it was a throwaway.
Let's get it, yeah? I bought my first house in Plaistow, which was cheaper than Hackney, and that cost me £48,000.
All right.
And that
was
in 1992.
I don't know the actual price, but he gave me, he said, if I was you, I would invest in Hackney. And I thought he was absolutely off his rocker. And say this is a place full of
what was it about Hackney, Sean, and its position that made it that changed its fortune?
He was right,
you know?
Though, by the way. And that's
do
why
you
want to
know what it was?
Go on.
Weren't its proximity to the city of London?
I assumed it was.
No, it's proximity to Islington.
Oh, okay.
Because basically, a lot of the Islingtonites,
moved to Hackney.
Those that wanted to be Islingtonites couldn't afford Islington.
Oh, see what you mean.
So they went into the next door, into Hackney.
There's parts of Islington are a bit.
And it filtered out because it went to Stratford, and that's out. And then people couldn't afford Hackney, moved into Stratford, and there was a line
there you go.
From Islington through there.
So I would have made a lot of money if I'd have bought a few houses. I don't know the actual money, but it was a small amount of money compared to the rest of the market in 27 years ago.
Well, one big regret I had was, I mean, I used to repossess houses as a locksmith. In 1991, I used to do 15 to 18 a week all over the country.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Brighton, and we spent a day in Brighton. We repossessed 3 flats, and we could have bought those flats for 15 grand.
Wow.
In Brighton.
And we were
talking to the bloke. And you think, and it was a bit of a shithole part of Brighton, but it was right down by the beachfront. Yeah. Brighton was an absolute tip in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, there you go. But my best bit of advice was by my granddad.
Go on. Which was what?
Get a trade, son. Don't work in an office.
Oof.
And that...
Now you work in an office.
Well, hold up. Yeah, but what he said was, you will always have work if you've got a trade. You will never be unemployed. And apart from the times I've been self-unemployed, yeah, where I've chosen to be unemployed, he was right. Never been unemployed.
Anyway, this isn't an advice podcast.
No, it's not. But
Thank you, Mick.
I've just asked one quick question. He's reminded me, a locksmith question, if you may.
Yes. Fucking hell.
I've got a Woolworths home safe where I can't get it open, right, anymore.
Send me a photo.
Bad tin opener.
And the key won't work anymore, and I can't get it open, so I want to know how to break into it.
Send me a photo.
I'll send you a photo.
Fucking hell. You could probably pick it up and bring it to me if it's a Woolworths bleeding safe.
Yeah, probably could.
Yeah, mate, I should do a locksmith podcast. The stories, the stories I tell people work. Unbelievable.
I broke the plastic off it to try and get it open, but I'll send you a photo after the podcast.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think Len was right. Get a tin opener. Fucking Woolworths. Sure, even though it's probably worth more money now, the fact you got it out of Woolworths, it don't exist anymore. The Doog is back. Sean Dugan, evening chaps, he says. Thanks as always for the podcast. Happy to respect the point this weekend after the debacle at Palace. He's trying to get his head round the news of the possible spending cap. Will it benefit West Ham? It looks on the fact that it could level out the playing between the greedy six and the rest of us. But I'm sure there are many hidden catches.
Yeah.
Everybody out.
Everyone out. One of the catches that we've got Sullivan holding the purse strings.
It won't do anything, really. It the current levels of spending, the only people it might slightly control on the current levels of spending is Chelsea. But it takes away the
Does it restrict the likes of the Newcastles and the Villas?
No, not on their current level of spending.
It don't restrict them.
It lets them off. So it means that...
So it's actually a better thing then. It is an improvement.
Because it just cuts it a different way. I mean, you'd have to look at how much... This is where it gets a little bit grey. So, all right, so it depends on how you... So, wage bill, right? And it's got to be wage bill of the players can be cut a different way. And this is how Man City got in trouble for image rights and everything else. Then you've got transfers. Then you've got agent fees, which have to be disclosed, right? Then you've got turnover. And this is where you may cheat. So if you say, oh, okay, you know, it's a percentage of turnover. There's two things in this. Well, if you get another part of the group paying you for advertising beyond the value, well, that's another way of cheating. This is why this anchorage sort of says, oh, no, we're going to take the lowest broadcast fee times 5, which is you can't go over 500 and something million. But no one has at the moment, so it's a bit bollocks. It's all fictitious. And do you know what? This is all around trying to get themselves in order before a government independent regulator comes in and starts making decisions for them. Tracy Crouch or whatever her name is.
Well, she's not there anymore.
No, she's not, is she?
No, she started the ball. I mean, oh, look, this is the funny thing is, I'm not a big fan of this being imposed on Premier League clubs. The I don't know what would you call it, the Quango or whatever that they will set
Quango,
up.
Quango, yeah.
I'm not in favour of it. It hasn't worked. You know, they off what are a joke. Yeah, the gas and electric people take the piss. You know, they don't. So having another layer of bureaucracy, and at the end of the day, like it or not, Premier League football is a private business. So when government sticks its noses into private business, it ain't normally a good thing.
No, it's not.
But then I'll throw in some of the people that will be tasked with doing this. And there's a funny thing is, the Football Supporters Association are part funded by the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yeah? There's a reason why people like Kevin Miles and Malcolm Clark are still there 17, 18, 20 years later. They've got themselves into a cushy little position, making a nice bit of coinage, yeah, and are professional football fans. What have they ever really done? You know, the funny thing about the FSSA is they'll go, well, you know, the reason we pay £30 is because of us. Where I'd argue, when I backed the campaign, it was called 20 is plenty. But they sold the fans out for £30 instead of sticking to their guns. Because if you've got a campaign that says 20 is plenty, then 30 is too fucking much. Still, who am I? Next up. It was a bit of a rant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lost my place. Sorry about that, people.
Don't you think last night was enough?
Yeah. Well, I didn't rant last night, did I? So, Scott Cole. Evening, gents. Do you think it's interesting that Amorim apologised for coming? Said it was a mistake in timing, but didn't go as far to say he didn't want to come to West Ham. He's clinging to small hopes, is Scott. He loves the show. Brady out. Sullivan out.
Brady out.
Moyes out. And that Everyone is out. Scott Cole. So we got a name, Old King Cole?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I like that.
Scotty Old King Cole. There you go. Thanks for that, Scott. The chances are Amorim's not going to come, though, Sean. As we said in the early show, you'd have heard it. Basically, the finances don't stack up for him. But anyway, if that's to be. Yeah. Tim Knightley. I don't know if he's any relation to Kira, who's obviously a West Ham fan as well. But anyway, Kira says, evening, chaps. Anyone else seriously underwhelmed by the names in the frame for manager when Moyes leaves? He said, any rumours of Bowen leaving to join the Bin Dippers? Rumours, Sean?
Well, I mean, it's a rumour, but they'd have to pay a lot of money. I mean, I'm hoping he's quite settled. His father-in-law...
Two kids
to
pipe down, Sean.
Yeah, I know. I have to tell her. That's Julia being quite loud.
Yeah.
No, I don't see it. It's a quick answer.
Right, okay. No, that'll be a big thing. All right, next up. Oh, it's the Bicester Hammer. He's the train buddy of the chauffeur, Mr. Grant Coxford. Evening, chaps. Looking forward to tonight. He's got a hypothetical question there, yeah, but he wants a balanced response. Yeah? You ready?
Right.
Here we go. After 3 seasons of European football in the Thursday nights, meaning Sunday afternoons, match day,
yeah,
which you have all said you haven't enjoyed, how do you think you would have enjoyed them in the stadium move hadn't have happened? Would the Sunday game still been a ball lake, albeit with a better viewing experience? What would the pyrotechnics have looked like for the European games? And does Len think he still wouldn't have gone? Brady out, Sullivan out, and the right man for the in. Right, where do we pick that apart? Right, so...
Basically, what we're saying would be enjoyed it more at Upton Park.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have gone to that, probably.
Many reasons why I would say yes to that.
Yeah.
I'd have had Sunday dinner at the in-laws, so that was good. So I'd somewhere to park my car nearby. Never had a problem car parking. I got a permit. It is funny. I'd never thought of it like that. Really, Sunday football games never bothered me. I'll tell you what, and this is the funny thing is, which no one, when you think the one of the biggest things about the move was the connectivity of Stratford. I'll tell you now, it was a damn sight easier to get away from Upton Park than it was Stratford of a night game. Damn sight easier.
Yeah, well.
And pyrotechnics don't really bother me. What about you, Shawnee?
Rubbish.
Yeah, I thought so. I knew he had. He's gone to tell him to pipe down, hasn't he?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, here he goes back now.
Yeah, I did. Go on.
Isn't it funny how wherein it goes really deathly silent, I know you've crept away.
Well, no, I was also looking at a video how to use a magnet to try and open a safe, but that's...
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, good luck with that song. Yeah, because that's a worker, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, it might be, because I've got a really strong magnet, because I go magnet fishing, but that's not... That's for another podcast.
We'll give it a
go. What about...
if you do give it a go, Sean, do me a favour and video it so I can have a laugh. Yeah.
Well, you know, on these cheap safes, apparently there's a little...
There is. I couldn't tell you of them, but
it's a little solenoid that when you put electricity, a little plunger goes down.
Yeah, yeah. So these are like the safes they put in hotels.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I used to have to sometimes I worked for a bloke that had the contract for a London hotel or that was by Tower of London. And the reason why he liked to use me was obviously I only lived about a 20-minute drive from there, so I could get there quick. And the amount of times the safe's locked up, but obviously the only time the people realised was when they wanted to catch a flight and needed their passports out of the safe. But yeah, that was good.
Okay. Not from Woolworths, though.
No, not from Woolworths. Sunday at Upton Park, Sean.
Yeah.
Would you have enjoyed it more than Sunday at London Stadium?
Well, I quite enjoy my Sundays at London Stadium. So
and we'll move on. Kent Irons is next. Evening all, says Kent. I don't know. Is this his first comment with us, Kent Irons?
No, I think he's done one before.
Well, Clark Kent, anyway, goes on and says, evening all. How many players do you think we need in the summer? Here we go. He thinks eight.
Too many.
If Moyes leaves and we get a progressive younger manager, I think that number may be five plus three youth team players being promoted. Moyes out. Oh, Kent's Moyes out. There you go.
Moyes out.
We've seen this before. If you make too many changes all at once, you don't want to lose the Genesis. I mean, all right, so you might lose a Pakatar. You might.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to sell Caduce, Bowen, or any of our other first teamers. You've got to replace Ben Johnson, who's a squad player. You've got to replace Aaron Crespo, who's a squad player.
Yeah.
Obonna. Flynn Downs might come back, of course. And you've got to replace Obonna, probably.
A good.
Probably a Gerd as well. Oh, yeah. Right. So you're already at four.
That list is climbing, Sean, isn't it?
Yeah, but not eight is my point.
I think there's. I think the old. My webbed feet master will a friend. I don't know. I think he's. It's a difficult one because when you start to bear down on it, that there could be that just to stand still, we're going to need five.
Yeah.
And so how much money is there to spend? One story I saw was like 130, 150 million. I'd to find that hard to believe.
So people have got misunderstood. There is a lot of money available because of the way that Declan Rice money all gets linked from an FFP point of view. But cash is another thing. So where does the cash come from? So we got about 30 million from the European run.
Mm.
Yeah. We get our second... we'll get a second tranche of the Declan Rice money.
Mm.
But I don't see it being 100 and something. I see it being about 60 plus whatever anything we get for Pakatar, which could turn into 140. So if we get 85 and we don't want to sell him on the cheap, and you put the other 60, then it does turn into 145, but only if 85 of it comes from Pakatar.
Oh, well, let's hope it does then. What do you think, Lynn? Do you think that number's about... Where are you with players, or is it like what will be will be?
Well, is it... Yeah. What will be will be. If you don't know what the Una manager is yet, who do we know who else is going to leave?
Yeah.
You don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, it does make you wonder how many are emotionally attached to... Moyes, but anyway,
or the other way around, even.
Yes,
we don't know where he goes.
Maybe Benrahma comes back.
Yeah, anyway.
Maybe.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Error comes back.
Move on to the next question.
Well, you don't think Benrahma under a different manager could play better? He just got a golden assist at the weekend.
Well,
hey, you might be right, really. Just that I never really wanted him in the first place.
Okay.
My favourite question to the boys I put to them last night was that if Moyes leaves, do you think we could win the championship in two seasons' time?
Good point.
See?
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think we'd be down there.
Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, no. Okay. Was a bit facetious.
How's your electric car going, Sean?
My what?
Your electric car. I'm talking brilliant. About be careful what you wish for.
What's wrong with my electric car? I'm loving it.
Why not be worth anything in the future?
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean it don't matter?
Don't matter to me.
Well, it don't matter to me if West Ham go down.
Well, it does in some ways because I'm not invested in it.
It's well, you invested car. In your car and it's been worth nothing.
Whoa. It's an octopus car. I pay a lease, which is salary sacrifice, so it's tax efficient. So I get it.
Be careful what you wish for, Sean.
Hang on, gross. And at the end of 3 years, right? I can just give my car back. The residual value is a problem for octopus cars and not for me.
Who's octopus cars?
Octopus cars are the Octopus Energy Company. They run octopus EV cars where they lease cars to companies.
Oh, do they?
But you'd have no car insurance. Be careful what you wish for.
It's the biggest.
And you've got to buy another car.
It's the biggest salary sacrifice. So you can, because of it's got a very low tax. Threshold as a company benefit, you can get. I get my insurance, my maintenance, my tyres, and including a lot of my charging, all rolled into to one monthly fee that comes out before I'm taxed. Can't go wrong there, Nigel. You should look at it. Your company.
Yeah, I don't think they'll like to look at that.
We don't cost. It makes some money because they don't. They have to pay less NI to their employees. So
I really wish I never asked this.
No. You asked.
I'll have a look at it. What car you got then?
Who?
Oh, Tesla, isn't it?
Tesla. Yeah.
Oh, right. You can tell me up there what that costs. So,
yeah, well.
Jason Backhouse. Back to the Future, Jace, from the 1970s. He's back again. Evening, Jace. So with our hopes of playing European football next season, slowly fading, still possible though, and the likelihood of a new manager in place, we don't know. What would success look like for you next year? For me, I long for a domestic cup run. He said he can remember as a 10-year-old, decked out in claret and blue, sitting on his sofa. So me and Jace are the same age then. Watching Trev Stoop and Eddie in our winner. And then being in the Millennium Stadium in 2006, only for Gerrard to break our hearts. I'd love a trip to Wembley. How about you guys?
I don't necessarily ask for success. Really?
What, yeah. You're going to replace Moyes and you don't want either a top seven finish?
He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say he didn't want it.
What did he say?
I didn't say a top seven finish was success either.
Yeah.
What qualification for Europe?
If seven are going to get in it, Sean, do you know what I mean? It's not...
Well, it could have been eight if we'd have got the extra place.
This is what I mean. You can't...
It'll be interesting to see with Villa if they win the Conference League. And then it'll be interesting to see who enters it next season and the effort they put into it. Because obviously Spurs, and it'll be funny because if Villa win it, so that's two out of three seasons English teams won it. And not Spurs. A team that thinks they're like whatever, but have not won a trophy at all.
Sadly, it'll become an important trophy, won't it?
If Spurs went back into it, I wonder if they would. You know, what you've got to remember is they actually forfeited a game. That, yeah, they would have had to win it 2-0 or 3-0 to qualify, but they didn't even bother to play the game. They just said, nah, we're not playing it. You have it. That knocked them out. You know, in the group stages, that is pathetic.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, from a football club. Anyway, I'd love a cup final, Jace. League Cup or FA Cup. Last night, I think I wouldn't mind a League Cup because we've not won it. So it'd be nice to put a different trophy up on the honours board.
Yeah, we need to win it, though. It's no semi-final.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
But if, you know, at the start of every season, I dream of us winning the FA Cup. And that is what, you know, the dream will happen again next season. Paul Ferrantz. Evening, gents. Here's a good question. Do you trust Sullivan or Steiden to appoint a manager that can improve upon David Moyes' last 3 years?
Well, you have to trust Steiden, really.
Yeah.
Short answer is no.
I'd trust Steiden. I've got no beef with him or whatever. You'd have heard me list recently every managerial appointment David Sullivan's football clubs have ever made. And it's not really the most salubrious list in football, is it?
No, it's
to get
not
you
great.
Excited.
So we don't trust Sullivan, but we do trust
not
Steiden.
Richard Kemp, the Colonel. Evening, chaps, he says. With many pundits believing Bowen won't make the England Euro squad, do the pod believe this may leave him looking for a new team? He said he seems very settled, but missing out after such a great season going to hurt. Brady out.
I think we've covered this on a previous question, and we said no. We don't see him going to Liverpool.
He'd go to the Euros, wouldn't he?
I think so. He said something different. I think it'd be very...
One thing in his favour. You ready?
Big squad, go on.
Yeah.
26 players this time, not 23.
I thought you were going to say he's shagging Danny Dyer.
No.
And he's on fire.
He's on fire.
Yeah. No, 26 players, not 23. So therefore, that's an extra defender, an extra midfielder, and an extra forward. So, if you look at his stats, I like the way they really lauded Cole Palmer. Rightly so, in a way, for his ability. But the amount of goals he scored, but 50% of them, I think, are penalties. So, Bowen don't take our penalties, does he?
No. He has taken some.
Yeah, I think he's took one or two, Sean. That's all. So, there is that. Next up, Ted Sexton. Uncle Ted, how you doing, Ted? I will reply. I've just read your email. I'll drop you a line tonight or in the morning, depending what time we finish. Evening, gents, says Ted.
Evening, Ted.
One choice only. What player would each of you like to brought to us for a new season? He thought Match of the Day showed their anti-West Ham bias this weekend. Did they show it? Yeah, because they said nothing about West Ham, just about Liverpool. And he enjoyed Nigel with his wooden mixing spoon last night. Thank you very much, Ted. So let's do one player each, different player to the other person. One player you'd like to bring to us next season. Within reason.
I said last week.
What?
Conor Gallagher.
Conor Gallagher. Well, yeah, I think that's perfectly reasonable. Go on in.
Dominic Solanke. Reasonable.
Solanke, yeah. So, blimey. That leaves me. Actually, I'll tell you what I think we could do with, and that is a new centre back.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I don't know whether he'd come or not. I'm not sure Dan Burn at Newcastle, maybe we could entice him out. But I'd like to see a James Collins type of centre half, one that just fucking clears the ball, don't fuck about. That's what I'd like to see. Do you know what? I'd even have Harry Maguire. Strangely enough, I think he's a good defender.
I'm not sure.
Next up, it's our good friend. And I hope he's we had a text conversation. It's Mr. Ian Wiley, who as Hello, always gets Ian. Our best wishes. Yeah. Hi lads, hope you're good. He said he's got a quick question.
Go on.
He said, right, here we go. It's rumoured we're interested in one of Stuyden's picks, Wesley Gesova from Corinthians.
That's it. That's okay.
After having already failed with an initial bid, it said we've offered €18 million to sign him. Plays down the left from what I hear, and is rumoured to be similar to Kudus. Do any of you know anything about this guy?
No.
Does Sean have any news on this one? I can tell you what I know.
Cool.
I know that he plays for Corinthians, and that we've had a foul bid already, and apparently the rumour is we've offered $18 million to sign him.
You're That's repeating what I know. Back. Well, that has been reported. All I know is... Funny enough, Rob Newman went out to Brazil to set up this scouting network, and Tim Stuyden went there to watch four games, to watch some youngsters. Mm. Now, I wasn't given the names, but this, I would say, is probably one of them. What his value is, who knows, but that's all I know. I know that definitely Tim Stuyden flew out to watch four games. And there were some particular players he was watching. So, no smoke without fire.
Oh, okay. Nope. Okay. Well, that's not true, though, isn't it? Because you can have smoke without fire. Because if you've ever tried to burn wet grass, it gives up a lot of smoke. Fucking don't give you no fire. Scott Crosland. How you doing, Scott?
Good, old Scott.
He said, I was intrigued to see... I like this. This is true. He was intrigued to see Sweden voted to keep VAR out of their league after a revolt with Ola Thews, who represents AIK supporters, saying VAR is a symbol of the modern commercialised to the point of destruction football. This is bang on from the Swede. Here we go. Any chance of that kind of thing happening here? It's difficult to disagree with Thews' statement.
Why are they waiting so long in the first place?
Well, maybe they've decided... obviously, it's a financial thing. The investment into the grounds that you need for all the cameras and everything, it's a lot of money. Obviously, the Premier League was always going to be one of the first to take it up, wasn't it? As were probably the Italians and the Germans and everything else. You know, when you consider that the Championship is, I believe, the fifth richest league in Europe...
Is that true?
And they don't have VAR. So, therefore, it's a cost implication, isn't it? But they've looked at it, probably looked at the cost. But what they would have done was, if you look at the, I don't know how it works in other countries. It's funny enough, I watch German football and I don't really see it used, you know, the delays and whatever. I don't know. I've not seen it being so contentious. If it's the way we implement it or whatever, I don't know. It just, you know, you'll never get me, even if it worked well, you wouldn't get me agreeing with VAR. So, not really one to say anything. Sean, you're a fan of VAR, aren't you?
I don't know if I am anymore. But I was talking to, funny enough, a Newcastle fan saying, you know, was suggesting it's crooked. And I don't think it's crooked. I think there's some competence there. And they've taken a good idea and ruined it. And I think it needs to be modified. And I hate agreeing with you, but I like a really simple thing, which is if you can't decide in 30 seconds, the original decision stands. That or just abolish it altogether and go back to, you know,
well, the easy thing to do is
referees making mistakes, you know.
If after a first look, if you get the image up and first look, you can't tell, stick with the decision.
Yeah.
Done. Because if it's the type of offside that we thought it was going to be, which is the James Milner of Liverpool being 4 yards offside in front of the linesman, when he was standing in front of the linesman when he was offside, when the ball was played through to him when Liverpool got a point against us at London Stadium all those years ago, it was supposed to stop those ones. But what it's been led to is his back heel level with the bloke's defender's shoulder. The shoulder's 10 yards away from the bloke's heel. And it's, can we work out the exact time the ball's kicked? Well, I watched one the other day, a Chelsea, I think Stan Collymore tweeted out, it was a Chelsea-Tottenham. Three things happened. Took about 5-6 minutes for them to work out. They disallowed a goal, but then gave a penalty. So Chelsea scored. It was disallowed for offside. But in the build-up, there was two challenges, and one of them they deemed a penalty. I mean, you know, it was just mind-blowing. The decision that they came to. So, yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, you knew that because I just sent you a message that I was just going for a comfort break.
Anyway. Right?
And then you just did it just before I was going to shoot off. Little sod.
Paul Noland, chauffeur here. Beep, beep. No, it should be train beep, driver beep. Now, Paul, to be fair. Yeah, because I don't see you driving anywhere anymore. You and Grant on the phone, on the train, sorry, with your kids taking selfies. Do you think social media's had an adverse effect on football and technology in general? As everyone is an expert or has an opinion or write dodgy articles just for likes? Sean. In the old days, we would have to read something in the paper and we had to wait the match of the day or the big match or listen at the radio. One of the best games I listened to was the League Cup versus Coventry. First semi-final, Coventry in 81. We lost 3-2. Can we go back to jumpers for goalposts? He says. I'm getting old and yearn for simple things, like being the only West Ham fan in school.
Yeah.
Still, without social media, I would not be able to listen and not met me, he says, basically. One thing for sure, social media or not, we would still be run like a circus. Brady out.
I don't really think he's had an adverse effect on football.
What?
Oh, do I?
It dovetails with something. And something you said, that the more every week, I think, fuck me, how right are you? And it was the bit about social media dovetails with the ability to watch the games now. Everybody.
I see what you mean. Yeah, we all get to see the game.
Everybody gets to see the game.
Yeah, that's more the internet, though, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. But then it fires in that they then go on social media.
Yeah.
And vent their spleen and listen to podcasts now.
Yeah, maybe.
I was bored Friday night, so I watched West Ham Network, Late Show. With Craggy Island Hammer.
Right.
Tommy.
Well, you were bored.
Anton was on there. Anton sort of twigged me a bit.
Twigged you?
Yeah, and what I was doing is I was having a bit of fun in the chat, basically. But there was only that much people watching. No, not trolling. But here's a question which actually I genuinely wanted to, the answer is that can people that watch football on TV permanently have a valid opinion on the way we play football?
Not really, because I don't see the old picture today.
And this is the thing where it comes to a battle against, and you know, listen, I'm wary of, we've got a worldwide audience here, yeah? Right. And it's not, I'm saying, I'm not a better fan than you or whatever.
But you do think that.
No, don't put words in my mouth, you nasty old man. But anyway, what I'm saying is, though, is that the actually fans that pay the money and go to the game, years ago, we were the ones that would complain if we didn't like the way football was played, yeah?
Yeah.
All they used to get was snippets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're getting the whole game.
Yeah.
And now they're getting, you know, I suppose even this question time gives them a chance to whatever. So we're encouraging it. But should that, my point is, should that have a factor? Because, you know, there are certain people that may not have ever been to London Stadium that vent their spleen about the way David Moyes' football played and everything. And I think, well, actually, and even though I think this is more to apathy than anything else is, you don't see it in the ground.
No.
You don't see it. You know, one of my cheap shots last night was, well, Moyes' team's never been booed off after winning. You know, so yeah, but I think as well it is because of apathy, and the crowd has never really turned on Moyes, has it? Not the way it's turned on other managers, in the ground.
Well, they've been booed, but that's kind of the team.
No, yeah, but that's, you know, the modern day thing is an old team, not West Ham. This is fans. Is if you get beat, there'll be a chorus of boos. Now that chorus of boos might be 3,000 fans, yeah. So that could be, you know, 10% of those left in the ground when the final whistle's blown after we got beat. But the media like to focus on that. But what I'm saying is that there's never really been... You've not had a Moyes out chant, have you? I've never heard it. Well, maybe after the Brighton game, it got a bit hectic a couple of years ago when we lost 4-0. But never really had, you know... There's no banners inside the London Stadium saying Moyes out, is there? You know?
Not yet.
Things like that. Not yet, no. And I don't think there's likely to be. You're not going to have any Luton game, are you?
7-4-8, no.
No, and that's the thing. So, therefore...
it won't be.
I mean, I don't know if you get my point about... This is thing. One thing is that... For me, the point of football is to score goals. Yeah?
Right.
I want West Ham to score goals. Generally, more than the other team. It's always preferable. But I'd just like to see us score goals. Does it really matter how those goals are scored?
No.
Going in the other person's half would suit me.
Yeah. But and this is the thing. When I look at it and I go, you know, this is the... We've scored 56 goals this season. And I know perhaps I was being a bit naughty and ignoring how many we conceded. Yeah, but that's a fantastic tally. for West Ham.
Yeah, good point.
I think they'll probably get the biggest win rate out of a certain amount of managers as well. So I think if you're putting it that way, that's what I do. A win, and I'm coming here to win.
Yeah, but I'm talking about goal scoring, Sean. He's won 3 games this year. Come on. You know, he couldn't beat Bristol City. You know, let's not dress it up.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and one of those wins felt like a draw because Wolves actually had what I thought was a perfectly reasonable goal disallowed. So...
Goals are fun, though.
No, the goals are fun. And...
Look, I know I play and everything, but I won't be too unhappy if he's replaced this summer. But, you know.
You'll be pleased, don't give me that.
I won't be pleased. I'm indifferent
you
to it.
You will, you two are the
I'm
same.
I'm not. I'm just
you cult of reasonable,
to
reasonability. Get him gone.
What will be. C'est la vie.
Yeah, look, we know what'll happen if he wins one in 15, maybe even 16.
But as Nigel just said, maybe without Europe, he'll finish top 6.
You're never going to find out.
Oh, of course. Anywho, sorry,
you didn't answer.
And I made a couple of
you never answered. Does it matter the way we score goals? Does it matter the way we do it?
Well, no, don't. But what you're saying isn't happening. I'll disagree with your hypothesis. Really, you've landed in a place where we're not there. You know,
you scored 56 goals this season.
Right,
as a number,
Nothing. Yeah, but it hasn't made me happy. So I don't agree with your hypothesis.
Right, okay.
Because otherwise, I'd be happy if I thought, you know, goals are fun. And they should be. Well, why don't they fear it? Because you're saying we scored lots of goals, more than usual.
Well, that is the case. I think this is the second most goals we've scored.
We don't feel like
this
it,
point
is it?
Of a season. No, it was one of them things where even I was surprised when I was looking it up. But what surprised me actually weren't that we scored 56 goals. I'd looked at it. Was that actually the highest tally we've had after 35 games was 57 goals. So this is the second highest ever tally after 35 games in our Premier League history. I mean, that was like... And the only good thing about it was when I went through the Allardyce years, they were abysmal. 37 one season, I think, under Allardyce. So, which bails me out is why I think that this actually Moyes football is far better than anything Allardyce served up because he actually scored goals. Allardyce never did. Oh, Nick Harvey. Aye then. Nah then, gents, he's gone. Nah then. There's really only one thing to say, which is AI. Sullivan touts, Brady touts, and Moyes touts.
Everyone out.
Bin Dipper's not a bad result, but disappointing performance for large parts of the game.
In today's woke society, are you allowed to say Bin Dippers?
Well, he wrote it, I said it, so take it what you want. Anyway, what are your wishes for next season?
Lots of Saturdays.
There you go.
Saturday football.
That
is my wish. Yeah.
I like evening games as well. I want a few evening games.
If we're going to have Saturday, if we're going to do Saturdays, less 12:30, more 8 o'clock. I did have a word with some of the spirit from Shankly boys before the game, saying about, because they were saying all about the Villa-Chelsea game at 8 o'clock. I said, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have an 8 o'clock. Yeah, but you ain't got to get up to work in the morning, have you? So it don't matter. So you'd have a Saturday night out or whatever. It don't matter. But 12:30, you got
some
to drag
out of town,
out
though.
Of
like John struggled to get home.
Well, tough shit, isn't it? Ain't my fault. You picked this fucking team. I didn't ask you to. I was perfectly happy. when everybody just walks out the barking ride. But anyway,
I've helped you with your article. I've just tweeted out a link to your article. Nigel Carr makes the case for David Moyes to stay, with a link to your article on 6.2.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Did you not tweet out Andy's article?
Tomorrow.
Just to be fair.
Tomorrow. Right.
For a bit of balance.
A bit of balance tomorrow. But
Andy wrote an article about why Moyes should go.
Yeah.
Because 6'2" really does believe in balance.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave that till tomorrow. Let's whip them into a frenzy on the to stay first.
Okay. We'll see. One for Sean. Is there now a waiting list for managerial appointments to be seen? At Birchall Mansion.
It's not a waiting list. It's a contingency list. Do you not get... Stay on message. Come on, Nigel.
Come on,
stay message. On message.
Sorry. Contingency. Anyway, and would... which of you would have offered Creswell a one-year deal?
Nah.
Well, a lot of people have said, I can't believe we offered him a one-year deal in the first place.
No.
But, do you know, I made this point earlier, and I'm sure you know the answer to this. Do you know how old Ashley Young is?
37.
It's 38.
Oh, 38. There you go. It was 37 at one point.
Yeah, it was. Last year. 38.
This year.
I think he's about to turn, I don't know, 39 soon. That's how it works, you know.
Yeah. Ian Gravitt says, just proves how out of touch the spiv midget is. Are we allowed to say that? I think
no.
I just did. Liverpool have identified their new manager, has signed him up already, whereas Spiv Midget is playing the same way he does with his transfer strategy.
Have they signed him
up?
Sorry, I missed the official announcement on the website.
I think they've agreed.
Has Arne Slot come out and announced it?
No, no, no. What they've agreed is they've agreed a package with Feyenoord.
Really? Feyenoord have said that officially, or Liverpool have said that? Or, or are you just quoting speculation in the papers?
Well, I'm quoting the claret and booze of Liverpool world.
Yeah, exactly.
You've had the right fall at you lot.
Evening, gents. Ian says, after listening to the podcast last week regarding the search for a new manager, not happy that if all else fails, the Moyes will be offered a new deal. Doesn't say a lot for the supposed ambition of the oldest little spiff dwarf gobshite. Am I allowed to say that, Sean?
Nope.
All right. Well, I just did. To be honest, will we attract any manager? No. Nope. Knowing that the old slapper, I think that's Brady. Can I say that, Sean?
You did.
You're saying Brady, but you can't use
slapper.
The word spiv.
All right.
I think that's a petty criminal who deals in illicit black market goods? Is that what spiv is?
A word once used by an accountant to describe me.
A spiv.
A spiv. In fact, he actually
certainly
put the
not
word,
allowed. I mean,
he actually dwarf. Put the word cockney in front of it.
Dwarf is not allowed to be used. I mean, that's very heightist as well.
All right. Gobshite.
What's the meaning of that? What's the origin of gobshite?
Well, it's someone that's mouthy.
It's stupid. Well, vulgar slang. Irish, it says. It comes from Ireland.
Yeah.
A stupid, foolish, or incompetent person. A gobshite.
All right.
But it's from Ireland.
There you go.
Gob. Oh. Obviously, mouth.
Yep.
Shite. I think we got that one.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Sean. though odious little spiv dwarf gobshite. I think that's been said about you at times, Sean. To be honest, will we attract any manager? No. With the slapper mentioning it and a column in the Scum or Spiv Midget doing his usual gobbing up to the wrong people. I think that's you. Will the club ever reach greatness with those two parasites? Can we call them parasites?
No.
Yeah.
No. All right. Running the club. Here we go. In the 80s, we failed to invest after finishing third. There's a story there. Maybe not on the owners. But anyway, don't want to speak ill with Johnny Boy. Odious spiv midget. Are we not allowed to say? Can you stop writing that here? I'm not allowed to read that out, apparently.
No,
anyway, so I've lost
midget
my friend.
Is another word that you're not allowed
Let
to.
Let me go back. The odious spiv midget is doing the same. Moyes wants a small squad. Well, there you go. That's why they're midgets. They're all small, aren't they? Simple reason, he doesn't know how to coach his bigger side, especially the younger ones. Spiv Midget and Moyes out.
Harsh.
There you go. Mark Hunter Wellies says, evening all, what a contrasting atmosphere from the Bayern game. I didn't know we'd played Munich, Mark. But anyway, I think...
talking about Leverkusen.
Yeah, but they're not called Bayern, are they?
Bayer.
Exactly right. There was a time where it would be almost impossible to get a ticket for that game against them. I've said what a great header of the ball Antonio is. Have you? Oh, good. Good job it didn't fall to his feet. One home game left. I'm starting to look forward to the new dynamic team with a dynamic manager and new owners. He's got on a scale of 0 to 0. What do you think chances are? Having said that, he feels sorry for Moyes. Everyone else!
On a scale of 0 to 0? I'd say 0.
All right, okay. Anyway, tonight's painting is...
Yeah.
You want to tell us?
Well, it's Phil Parks.
There you go, Phil Parks.
Philip Benjamin Parks.
Can I just say, is that picture of Phil taken from...
Right.
Do you know what I'm trying to... It's either the semi-final or the final. I believe it's semi-final.
Do you know what? It looks like the semi-final.
I was thinking semi-final, yeah.
Not a lot of reference for Big Phil.
No.
We went through this, didn't we?
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Mm. Everyone's agreeing with you. The first two comments...
What?
Right? If your article, FPL Hammer says... I feel it's time for a change, but I certainly wouldn't be disappointed if he stayed on. The squad is going to look a lot different next season, regardless of who it is. Now, here's a big one. Theram Hammer, the mad person.
Read this out, because I'll tell you why, Sean. Nigel. Hold up. Fuck off, because that man blocked me years ago.
He says, I agree with Nigel.
Dear, oh dear.
What?
What have I done wrong?
Nigel's a gaslighter. Agreed, Nigel.
First two comments have agreed with you, Nigel.
I can't believe Theram Hammer's put that.
Theram Hammer has put
that. Dear, the man blocked me ages ago.
I'm sure the Clarence Boots boys will come in soon. Don't you worry.
I look forward to that. Good evening. Trust you all well. It be Richard Dodds.
Here we go.
Oh, no. Here's another one. He's staying, isn't he, Andrew Billick? And then Tay, you know Tay W5, who we love Nigel, and he's put...
fucking hell. I've come in the poster boy for the fucking youth.
He's become the poster boy for Moyes Inn.
Anyway.
He's gone down really well.
I ain't at me.
Fucking hell, I'm in a can of worms now, isn't it? Anyway. Goodness. Dodsy goes on, as we can finish no higher than 6th and lower than 13th, nothing to play for, as we won't finish higher than 8th in reality, when will Moyes go for the free-flowing football? One for Sean, does Brady know the stadium's falling apart due to her apparent attitude to the owners of the stadium?
What do you mean it's falling apart?
Well, I think, Sean, the amount of fucking rain, yeah. The stadiums, it's not meant to rain inside. Come on.
It's not really a roof, let's be honest.
No, but let's put it right, Sean. A roof is still supposed to be a roof. It's still supposed to keep the rain off your head when you're underneath it.
Well, I think if he's talking about it getting wet in the stands, they're about to put a solar mesh in to generate electricity, and that will probably plug a lot of the gas.
It lasts for 10 years.
Yeah, can I just point something out, Sean, The solar mesh might be no good when it's pissing with rain because there ain't no fucking sun, yeah?
You need the sun. But at least it will plug the holes, the leaks in
there
the roof.
There you go. Right, so you say. He didn't ask, how did I feel?
£4 million of your money on it.
Yeah. How did I feel last night? YouTube debate went. How do I feel last night? YouTube. Dodds, this is how I'll answer it. What debate? Anyway.
There wasn't any debate.
Why do you feel Lucas has become so poor in recent games? Because he wants out. Do you agree with me that on current form, I don't think Pep will buy him? Blimey. That's a worry. And last but very hypothetical, even though he can't spell it right. If we need to beat Man City on the last game of the season to secure Thursday Sunday football and give Arsenal Declan the title, would you be happy to lose that game? Always. Brady out, and Sullivan as he continues to screw the cover. This is a great question, right? Last game of the season.
Yeah.
We need to win. If we win, we get European football.
Yeah.
And winning enables Declan Rice to win the Premier League trophy.
But we win nothing.
Right. Right. What are you going to hope for?
So what's the choices?
Because I've got two answers. No, well, so the chances
are... What are the choices?
Right, so the chances are we win and get European football and let Declan win the trophy, or we lose and let Man City win the Premier League.
Oh, piss off. Of course we'd want to get Europe and let... What's wrong with Declan Rice winning a Premier League trophy? No.
Right.
Jesus okay. wept.
All right. Lynn?
I mean,
you used to work for Arsenal, Len.
Well, no, the agency that worked for Arsenal.
Well, the same difference.
Yeah, but the when it comes to it,
would you want a London club not to get the Premier League after so much?
No, I don't give a fuck about it. I just worry about the West Ham element, and I'd want us to win.
Then you want us to get Europe?
No, but I just want us to fucking win the game. Right. I'd take fucking beating anyone at the minute.
Right.
Europe. So you just don't
we'll win. Well, no, but that was the thing. So here's the answer. So it depends who's asking. Yeah. Because frankly, if it's me Arsenal mates at work, yeah, then naturally I hope Man City fucking win.
Really?
Yeah. Anyone else, actually.
We're not going to beat City.
Yeah. I hope we win the game. Any tickets available, people? I'm going to throw it out now. Nigel is looking for tickets.
I thought you had them.
For what?
Well, I've applied for Man City. Yeah. I've applied for two in the ballot. I'm after, realistically, about four, because I've got people that want to go.
When is the ballot?
The ballot, I've already put in for the ballot now.
Have we passed the deadline?
No, I've entered the ballot.
No, have we passed the deadline?
I don't know. Have a look. I don't know.
Because I might get lucky in the ballot.
All right.
And you can have it.
Thank you. But, yes, so I'm after Man City, a minimum of four, yes. last up, then, for tonight is Super Chrissy Mills.
Hey.
We saved the best to last, as always. Well done, Chris. A decent point that does neither team any good.
No, you're right.
Looks like it'll be ninth or tenth for us. I'm going ninth, Chris. I will add that. I do believe we'll finish ninth. I know there's a lot of tourists that come with Liverpool matches, but that was fucking ridiculous on Saturday.
It was.
I was waiting for a mate, and it was an endless stream of 50-50 in red and white scarves going towards the home ends. It was funny. So I said exactly the same, Chris. It was unbelievable. Some games, would you prefer to just close the upper tiers behind the goals and have 45,000 West Ham? It was the worst atmosphere versus Liverpool could remember because of this. Do we really need to start ironing them out before something is done? Brady out, Sullivan out, Scousers out.
Everyone out.
Can I make a suggestion? We keep a bit of the upper tier as a neutral vent area just for tourists.
The problem is there, Sean, and this is
Fulham
the problem.
Did it, didn't they?
Well, I don't know. They had a neutral end. Which was next to the away fans. But here's the problem, is that because season ticket holders dominated the way they sold tickets, that means the ground was just full of season ticket holders. So when they advertise them on Ticket Trader, they can only take the tickets that are available that are sold by that season ticket holder. So therefore, you can't have a section like that. Because you'd have to force season ticket holders out of a certain area.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I get it. Look, unfortunately, I'll tell you a story, right? A friend of mine approached me. He's an Arsenal fan, actually. And he said, I've got a mate over from Canada. Really wants to see an EPL game.
No, fuck. Didn't you tell him to fuck off as soon as he said that?
While he's here. And so he said, could you get him... he's a neutral. But could you get him a West Ham Liverpool? And I said, so I asked someone, they said, well, I want proper value for it, you know, 75 quid. And I went back to him and he went, no, that's great. And he loved it. He absolutely, as a neutral, he loved it. He loved the stadium. He loved the ground. He loved the game. You know, it was a spectacle. And that
that is modern Premier League football. They want to be there to tick it off and take the selfie. And there was a lot of people like that with doing the selfies and the videos and everything else that are tourists. And that's all part of Premier League football now. They don't care who are playing.
No, they don't. I don't. While you're yakking, a few latecomers, right, cool. I'll whiz them quick, yeah? Martin Rose Sports, evening all. We've conceded more, apparently, says we conceded more goals apart from the bottom three teams. Don't surprise me.
Yeah.
But we've also scored a damn sight more. Match of the day, never mentioned at all, nothing new. What's the latest on the new training ground, Sean?
There isn't any. I mean, we're looking for other... land, but I don't think anything's been decided.
Stuart Masters, evening all. West Oxen Hammery. Sean, have you managed to find out the answer to my question about WHU not giving tickets for troops, please?
I didn't know there was a question. When was this?
Yeah, it was the other day.
Keep we up, never Sean. Found out about Oxen either.
What's the question?
The question is, there's a group called Tickets for Troops.
Yeah.
That obviously donate unused tickets or whatever for ex-servicemen or current servicemen.
Oh,
and
right.
West Ham are not part of that scheme.
Well, tell you what, contact
me. Can we do
me.
It behind the back? Like?
Contact me. I will talk to someone at the club. I wasn't aware of this, so talk to me and I will put you in touch with the right person and give a little bit of a nudge to see what we could do for that. It may or may not involve the senior source, but yeah, let's talk off air. After Nigel's fixed my safe.
All right, there you go. Contact Sean direct with this, please. There you go. West Oxen, I believe, is sort of like it's Oxfordshire Cotswolds.
That's
so why is it Oxen? or is that the name for Oxfordshire?
Maybe
it is, yeah.
Oxen, yeah.
Sometimes just ox.
How many points quickly will we get from our last three games? Great pod, best wishes, Stu.
3 points against Chelsea, 3 points against Luton, 6 points, and none against C.
All right, okay. I'm going 4, Lynn.
1.
There you go. Go on, where'd you
You miserable little sod. Miserable little sod.
I ain't been fucking wrong lately, have I?
All right, so what? You
1-1 out of fucking 13.
What, we're going to draw against Luton?
Chelsea.
Oh, and lose against Luton.
Yeah,
Let me ask you one question. Who's going to go down out of Luton? Who's going to join...
Luton's going down, mate.
You reckon Luton's going down?
Yeah, but I'll tell you who could stay up.
Who?
Burnley.
Right. And who will go down instead?
Nottingham Forest.
Okay.
It's only out of four teams.
Well, yeah, I know it is.
Shepherd are gone. So it's out of three teams.
Yeah, Shepherd are already gone. It's Everton now.
No, they're safe.
They won three games in a week. You're having an alarm, aren't you?
Yeah.
Evening gents, says Johnny Bish. He says, Nigel, you were great entertainment last night, CMB, but I respectfully disagree with a lot of your points. He's got a question for me. Nigel, he says, why do you feel the need to try and justify any decision that clown Sullivan could make in keeping Moyes, especially when you have despised GSB?
Yeah.
Maybe, John, it's because sometimes I am a man of the people and I do try and support the underdog.
No, you don't.
And that when I see, like, a lot of stick, apart from Sam Allardyce, because all that is perfectly valid.
No, it's not.
When you see the type of stick that the man gets, even from people that I do class as friends, and I do class Gary and Nick and John as friends.
You as a gaslighter.
Well, whatever. They can cast me whatever. When we're walking around Canning Town doing a tour again soon, they can call me what they like. But anyway.
Gaslighter.
Yeah. Like, but anyway,
Moise in a,
so
the case for Moise, it's a bloody good read.
I think the language used against him is over the top, and actually, depending on what you want from football, isn't it? The fact is, West Ham's never sacked a manager that has achieved what Moise has achieved. That is the thing that I can't get my head round. you know?
Yeah.
He says, on a lighter note, with Potts and Downs having an exceptional season in their respective loan clubs, what sort of impact can they have next season? Everybody out. Everybody fantastic out. Ones up. What is Potts, right or left back?
Don't ask me.
I don't know. Right back, I think.
For
right,
some okay. reason, Claret I thought and... you I thought you were centre-half, because I remember him looking like Declan Rice. Not centre-half, oh. centre-mid.
All right.
There's a new clip here. There's a website. There's a Twitter called Claret and Moobs that is put some clips out there, Nigel.
All right. Okay.
Might be worth.
All right. Jake Daniel says, were you surprised there were no centre-backs on the bench, not even a youth player? Brady out.
Brady
Blimey.
Out.
Is that the case? There you go. Must be the case. That's from Jake, or Jack, as we like to call him. Jack Daniels. That's about it, really.
Good. Well, we'll be back next week. Chelsea at the weekend. We've done our predictions previously. I've been Sean. Len has been...
tired.
And Nigel, a.k.a. Shedman, has been...
teetotal.
Oh, have you?
What? What do you mean? What? Since when?
Off the booze.
Are you?
For how long have you been teetotal?
What are you mean? More than
just a podcast. Gaslighter.
Since last night.
I bet you're not. More than just a podcast.
Oh, don't stop. Finn Bar Mackay. Evening all this mid-table mediocrity is not for me like watching two bald men fighting for a comb on Saturday. Moyes out, Brady out, all out. P.S. Oh, Finbar, the Scottish hammer. Ah, oh, Finbar Mackay. I'm looking forward to my hometown club, Romford at Wembley in a couple of weeks. F.A. Vars, up the borough. Good luck to the Romford. See you all next week.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
That's all, folks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.